Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Lords Podcast with Will Rowe.
Well, welcome to the latest Lords Podcast. Here's a flavour of what's coming up.
It's the most easiest thing to say now, but it is. It's so much easier when you're out in the middle.
And I wonder why they have a few problems now. The young players have to take responsibility.
Yep, that's right. Roy Keane on a cricket podcast, along with Dominic Cork's memories of one of England's most famous victories at Lords. To discuss all that and much more, I'm very pleased to be joined by cricket journalist Lizzie Ammon and Nick Compton. Welcome along both. How are we doing?
Good, Will. Thanks for having me. Nice to be at Lords again.
Yeah, good. Nice to be on the verge of some cricket again. We've not had any for a couple of months, have we?
Absolutely, and it's a dark sky coming in here this afternoon. It's not quite the Lords you know during the summer, but it's certainly special.
It's still beautiful.
Absolutely. Well, first thing I'd like to do in the podcast is say a little hello and thank you to all our Twitter followers who have tweeted in with their questions for you, Nick, under hashtag AskCompo. I think it'd be amiss not to start with obviously talking a little bit about Somerset and your future plans. So we've got a few questions here from Chloe Sophia. She says, what club will you be joining now you've left Somerset? Kieran says, why did you leave Somerset? Juliet Clancy, are you joining Surrey? Jim Price says, fancy scoring a shed load of runs at Lancashire. Clayton Beerman, do you want your old locker back at Lords? Tim Murta has tweeted in. Where do you want to sit in the dressing room next year?
It's not like him to pipe up after 5 years. I haven't heard from him.
And just to finish off, Jan Bartosik says, hi Nick, have you thought about playing domestic cricket outside England now? So I guess answer all those at once.
Ready, go. I like the one about scoring a shedload of runs. I'm not sure about Lancashire, but no. Look, my options are still open. It's something that I'm going to consider over the coming weeks. I think I've said quite a lot about my recent departure from Somerset, which has been an incredibly tough thing for me to do personally because it's been a particularly successful time of my career. And you know, as I said in my message and in the press, you know, the depth of gratitude I owe to Somerset and to someone like Brian Rose who brought me down there almost 5 years ago. So, no, some very fond memories, but life does move on. And, you know, I also said that it was nice to be up near my support and family up in the London region. So, you know, I'll sit down over the next coming weeks and decide where the future is. But the idea of scoring a shed load of runs sounds very good. And, you know, whoever that's for, you know, I'd like to continue to playing cricket and playing it successfully. And who knows where that may lead me.
Well, I think one thing we can certainly take away from that is that all the cricket fans want to see you playing cricket. So that's good news. And, yeah, it's still very immediate. So yeah. We'll see what the future brings.
Well, I think it's been a challenging 16 months or so. And I think that in everyone's career, it gets to a point where, you know, it is about reassessing and seeing where the next part of my life goes. I'm 31 and still feel I'm in that sort of prime age, if that's the right way of putting it. And, you know, hopefully there's a few more runs in the bank. And I think in terms of playing domestic cricket outside of England, I'd love to do that. But I don't think there are too many opportunities, particularly in the larger form of the game, longer form of the game, to do that. But always open to offers.
Lovely. And we'll turn our attentions to some other questions that came in not on your current plans. So Millie Rossiter says, what's the best thing about playing professional cricket?
I think for me it's been the opportunity to travel, you know, to some great countries, the likes of, you know, South Africa. Of course I was born there, but to go back there and to play and to train, Australia, India. I think India was probably the place that I enjoyed, you know, traveling to the most. That England win that we had was a particularly fond memory, and the you know, the opportunity to connect with, you know, other cultures that also, you know, associated with cricket. So I think that for me has been the real highlight of being a professional cricketer.
Kells says, what will you miss about Somerset? And then also, who will win the X Factor?
What will I miss about Somerset? Well, there's a few. I think there's definitely the pub meals and the walks in the hills on a weekend. I think nothing beats the outdoors and nature and being out there with nature. So I think I will miss that a lot. But I've kept my house down there and I will be visiting on the odd day off. So that's nice to have. Who will win X Factor? Well, I have to say, rather embarrassingly, I have kept an eye on it this winter. Probably shows how unfruitful my winter's been so far, and I'm going to go for the Italian. I think the Italian's been for me. I can't remember his name. Lizzie, what was his name?
Look, I don't know why you're looking at me, composer.
I can see you on 3G there.
Andreas Fastini.
That's
his
it.
Name is.
Yeah, he's a funny old chap, and he brings something different. So good luck to him.
Well, you heard it here first. Amanda 17 says, "What are your favourite hobbies, and what would you like to have been if you weren't a cricketer?"
That's a nice question. Yeah, my favourite hobbies, you know, I'm particularly into anything creative, really. I would say photography is a particular hobby that I really enjoy, particularly going on these travels. You know, I try and always add it to the cricket bag. And, you know, I think golf is another hobby that I try and do as much of, you know, in the off-season. If I wasn't a cricketer, well, it's something that I am looking at now in terms of, you know, post-cricket. I think it's important to have an eye on things after your sporting profession. You know, the media is something that I've enjoyed. And, you know, my dad and mum are both in PR. So I think, you know, to be a sort of travel TV presenter, to do the odd cooking show or fitness show or something like that around the world and get to go into different cultures again, you know, would be something that would probably fulfill, you know, the creative aspect in me.
Lovely. That kind of answers Alan George's question, which was how soon before a media spot beckons. So maybe imminently.
Not too soon.
Not too soon. Okay. Haroon Ahmed, what was it like playing with Pakistan's Abdul Rahman?
Well, he was very successful in the short stint he had at Somerset. So, you know, from that perspective, I really enjoyed it. I know he came out with a couple of things a couple of months after that and didn't play much cricket for a few months. But you know what? I mean, that aside, he was a great guy to have in the change room. You know, laid back, which most people would probably understand now. But a fantastic bowler. Take that away as a cricketer. You know, the pace that he bowled, similar to Monty Panesar in many ways. You know, bowled quick and on the right pitch could turn it at pace. So anyone who can do that is a real asset to any county team or international team. So he was great. And he could also hold the bat as well. And, you know, I think everyone, you know, particularly when I was playing, it really enjoyed him.
Have you got any long-lost childhood possessions of yours that you'd like to see again? That's from hashtag Jimmy's biggest fan.
Well, when I was at back in South Africa last Christmas, I remember having a bit of an argument with my mother because my grandfather had a cricket bat that he gave me or left me many years ago. And over the years, my family have been travelling and moving house. So I just hope that that bat is hidden somewhere, whether it be in a box or in a loft or whatever it is. So, you know, I haven't seen that for a long time. So that would be my most prized possession that I would love to have with me at some stage.
Lovely. And just to finish off, Dwarkanath Prabhu says, can you please explain your appearance on ETV?
Not much to say there. A moment of madness is no doubt. Spent some time in America and was asked to do a charity show for a particular charity and stupidly said yes. It was a bit of one of those when in Rome and realized 5 minutes afterwards thinking, oh dear, what have I done here? So anyway, you only live once. It was a bit of fun.
Well, there you go. Fantastic. Lizzie, I'd love to bring you in now as we're going to be picking our England ODI 11.
Oh, not much of a job then.
Not much of a job. Nick, obviously you get involved too. It's been a bit of an up and down summer for England. Sort of, you know, redeemed themselves in the test matches, didn't do so well in the ODIs. They're now out in Sri Lanka, beginning a 7-day, one-day international series soon. So, let's just start at the top.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty unique winter for England, and they've never really done this before, where they have exclusively one-day cricket in the lead-up to a World Cup, and that's why, obviously, the Ashes were moved and why we've had back-to-back ones. Alistair Cook the other day, we were here for his departure press conference, and said he believes that, you know, this is one of England's best chances to win. And whilst you might think, I'll have a pint of what he's been drinking, please, he has got a point in that there really is nothing else for them to be distracted by. One day series is always tacked onto the back of the test series. People are always rested and rotating it. So that's a good opportunity. On the other hand, we're back to the old discussion that we always have about England's ODI squad is, do we even know what our best 11? We're not very far away from the World Cup, and we're at square one. Well, I don't think they're any closer to knowing what their best 11 is than they were 3 years ago. We're here today, news from Sri Lanka, that the warm-up game tomorrow, we're recording on Thursday, so that's Friday, Alistair Cook will open with Moeen Ali, with Ian Bell at three, and no Alex Hales in the warm-up game, which is interesting. It's a really difficult one to pick. Whichever way you cut it, I don't think Alistair Cook gets in the side. He hasn't scored a century for 18 months. He's just not in form. He's just not in the right place. Let's leave the captaincy aside for one moment. So for me, you'd open with Hales.
Yeah, Hales at one.
And Bell at two. I can't believe I'm going to do this because this is going to come back and bite me.
No, you've got to pick
really
it. Have
bad.
A go. Have a
really
go, Liz.
Moeen at three.
Moeen at three, yeah.
Probably Root at four.
I see you're reading off the list of the ODI squad I've given you that's gone out. You can pick players that aren't on that
list.
Oh,
well, can I?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, in which case, that's a totally different ball game because I'd have Jason Roy somewhere, I think.
Well, you can put Roy up there somewhere.
I'd have Hales and Roy probably opening.
Okay, we'll put Bell / Roy.
I want Ravi in there.
Yeah?
You want Ravi in there.
We'll put him
at
five.
Because he's Ravi and you can't not have Ravi. Yeah. I want to see James Taylor in the side because I think the bloke has done... What more can he do? He's done so much. He's done, you know, his stats just stack up. And I fear he's going to be the one who gets perpetually left out in this series. And
can I ask, are we looking at an England side, particularly for Sri Lanka? Are we looking at with an eye on the World Cup?
Yeah, that's because they're very different. So you'd have a very different balance of the side, wouldn't you, for Sri Lanka as you would for Perth?
Is that how they're viewing it? Do you
well,
think that they've got an eye
question,
on the...
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Is whether in Sri Lanka, they want to win the matches, or whether they want to try and work out what their best 11 for Australia is. You'd think that actually winning some matches is pretty important for confidence matters. But you will pick a different side in Sri Lanka to who you will pick. And obviously, Anderson and Broad come back into the squad. If you're picking your best 11, you've got Anderson and Broad in there without any doubt whatsoever. And then it's a case of who you fit in around them. Josh Butler, obviously, is in ink, isn't he?
Yep, Butler in at seven.
I've missed out Morgan.
Well, I mean, look, we're picking a team which is obviously one which you'd play in Sri Lanka, but obviously with an eye to the World Cup. So it's, you know, if you had to pick your strongest England ODI side, who would it be?
For a World Cup in Australia, you want three seamers and a spinner.
So you've got Anderson...
Anderson, Broad, and then you've got... Finn's an interesting question, isn't it? Because if Finn gets back to what he was in ODI cricket a couple of years ago when England were number one, then Finn is obviously gives you something that Broad and Anderson doesn't. He gives you the pace, he gives you the potency. There's a question mark, is he back? Will he ever be back to his best? But let's put him in.
Put him in at nine. And then eight, we've still got Ben Stokes.
You need a spinner, but you won't have Treadwell batting at eight.
You got Moeen.
Not Moeen. I don't know. Who would you have, Compo? Jordan, perhaps. It's very difficult trying to fit what is a very exciting squad into 11 slots, and Cook doesn't get in, whichever way you look at it, really.
I think for me, you've got to look at, you've got to have an eye on the World Cup. I think that's, they've spoken about that. And to win a World Cup, you've got to do something slightly different. You look at World Cups down the line, certain distinctive traits have been shown by different teams, whether it be Jayasuriya and Kalavithurana, who went very hard in the 96 World Cup. You look at England under Paul Collingwood, who won the 2020 World Cup. They sort of came across the slow ball bouncer, which was something quite new. Mm. And I just feel... I don't really want to mention names, but I just think if you're going to go into this World Cup, particularly in Australia, look at the brand of cricket that Australia and South Africa are playing at the moment. The high scores, very dynamic individuals, the likes of your Finches, your AB de Villiers. Now, I understand that players like that don't come across every day, so you've got to work with what you've got. But I feel that I would agree with Lizzie there in the sense that the likes of your Jason Roys, your Alex Hales, is, yes, they may not turn out to be your Finch or your... David Warner's, but I think you're going to have to compete with these guys. And they're big fields in Australia. The ball does come on. So guys that can take it on. Because otherwise you sit in the middle again, don't you? And I think there is room for run scorers. Your likes of your James Taylors, your Ian Bells, your Jonathan Trotts. You know, I think you have to look at also stats from the last one-day tournament. I mean, Jonathan Trott was, again, the leading run scorer in the one-day competition. He was very much a leading one-day run scorer for England, even though there were question marks over his pace and what have you. But I think someone does need to hold things together.
Absolutely.
I think for me, it's important to identify who that guy is going to be. I'm not saying it's Jonathan Trott at all, but I'm just saying that I think there has to be more explosive players in there. I think the likes of your Butlers, I think Ravi Bapara, particularly in Sri Lanka, does a good job with ball and bat. But for me, I'd go a little bit sideways, and I'd almost make, you know, Collingwood my captain in many ways for the one-day stuff. You know, he did exceptionally well, averaged over 50 in the one-day competition just gone, won the trophy with Durham, has won a World Cup with England, is in good fettle at the moment. And if you look at down the list, you know, there's some experience, but there's not some real experience, you know what I mean? And I think Collingwood would provide that. And, you know, so I think if you're going in with, we want to win the World Cup, if you're trying to look at it as a way of building for the future and stuff, well, then it's a different conversation. But I think if you want to win the World Cup, the likes of Stephen Finn are going to be important because they bring something different, particularly in Australia. You need pace and bounce. He brings the ball back in. You've got your Stuart Broads, who are very adept in one-day cricket, your Jimmy Andersons. But I think the other important thing is having your death bowlers, you know. And I think if we come back to Sri Lanka, that would be the question for me at the moment, is that there is no Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad. You know, I'm who a does, bit... who does the death bowling, you know, and that will be a massive area. Even though Sri Lanka have been quite heavily beaten by India, I think...
They're still a bit
nervous. They've got their five games ahead. They've got five games of practice. I'm sure they'll dust down and go, right, okay. And England are going into foreign conditions. So it'll be a huge series for England. And, I think for looking at it from the likes of James Taylor's, I mean, they've got everything to gain, haven't they? A great opportunity.
Provided he gets a... Yeah. He's not just there to... I mean, he does seem to be...
I think if James Taylor plays, I think you've got to either play him at number three.
Yep.
Where he's batted, or four, where he's batted for Nottingham, is that right?
Yeah.
Because I think otherwise, you know, he's not a massive guy, and he does hit the ball pretty well for a small guy. And he's, every time I've played against him, he's been very, very skilled at the one day game. He does, yeah. He's a very dynamic player. But I think he's either going to be given a chance or he's.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Not, you know, whether they you know, Alistair Cook or Ian Bell up front. But I do think in partnering him, they need some sort of explosivity, you know, whether Moen plays that role or Alex Hales. I think they just need a bit more up there, you know. I'm going to put my neck out here a bit and say that, you know, the likes of your Jason Roys, even your Craig Kieswetters, you know what I mean? I've played with him at Somerset for a long time, and there's few players who hit the ball as cleanly as he does. And I just feel he's got quite a lot of experience now. He's been out of the England fold for a while. You know, again, names are, you know, sort of, I'm just putting a few names out there, but just guys that that have the ability to hit, to do something special. You know, whether they do that or not is a different thing. But Jason Roys and Yakerike have got something special. There's an X factor to them. And I know there's always, there have been question marks, but there's question marks with every player. And I just think that if you're going to win the World Cup, you know, something different, someone's got to take it on, you know, and you can't just do the same thing over again.
I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat, isn't there? And there's more than one way to win an ODI. We saw with Rohit Sharma's incredible innings the other day. He started off relatively slowly, and that's fine. Building a platform is absolutely fine, provided you can then kick on. The thing that England haven't been able to do is they've kept the wickets, actually, in the power play. They just then haven't been able to. They just have. They haven't gone on to make the big hundreds, and that's really important. Really important. And but actually, there's a pretty explosive middle order.
Yeah,
potentially there.
There is, and there's definitely some potential. I think a lot of England fans this summer. There's a bit of doom and gloom around the ODI side, but actually, from just some of the interesting points you just made, there's definitely some match winners there, and it's just about finding the right mix.
Yeah.
Lovely. I'd like to move on now to a bit which you just touched on a moment ago, Nick. We're talking about experience. I'd just like to turn our attentions now to a discussion that cropped up during the London Sports Writing Festival here at Lords. The former Manchester United footballer Roy Keane was one of the speakers. He was asked about comments he made as a TV pundit after a poor Manchester United performance in Europe. Keane believed that the younger players needed to take more responsibility. Here's what he had to say.
If you listen to my comments then, I thought were fairly balanced. I thought United, the younger players have to do more. Now, if you're a young player at Man United, like I was a young player, well, young, 21 when I went there, 20, and you've not performed, then you have to accept that. That's, as I said, I don't think it was overboard. If you think this is overboard, I think my comments were, younger players have to do better to play for Man United. If you think that, if that's overboard, Jesus, we're in trouble, aren't we? But again, the game was at Ferguson afterwards, instead of Ferguson not necessarily taking my comments on board, because I think he knew deep down. I also know young players have to learn from the experienced boys. But you can't keep blaming the senior players all the time. Well, Giggsy's got to do this gig. Up to last year, Man United were dependent on Giggsy. Giggsy was 38, 39 years of age. And I wonder why they have their few problems now. You know, the young players have to take responsibility. Michael Owen and Norman White, these old boys were making marks in, on football when they were 17 years of age. Why do you have to wait till they're 27? You know, don't hide behind the fact you're young all the time. And when you were saying young, some of the players at United are 21, 22. That's not young.
Roy Keane there, talking about youth in football. Obviously, this is a cricket podcast, and I'd like to bring it straight back to that. But I think some of the points he mentions there, there is a bit of crossover, and I'd like to discuss the balance of youth and experience, and particularly in English cricket.
Well, cricket's interesting, isn't it? Because much more than football, it's an individual game played in a team environment. And actually, in terms of cricket skills, people do get a lot better with age, particularly with spinners. And we see with Jimmy Anderson, I mean, he's become a master, hasn't he? In the last, since he was 27, maybe. So it makes it very different. And it's not all about how young and fit you are and how fast you can run. So that makes it very different. But I think the point that he's making is that it's not about your age. So, you know, you're not, you can be quite experienced at 22 and you could be quite mature at 22. I think one of the things that's really important in England cricket, and I've really worried about this, and I'm not the only one, obviously, is that actually in the international environment, sometimes they're a bit too managed, and that stops you from becoming an adult, in inverted commas, as it were, and sort of, you know, taking responsibility for your own actions, your own development, your own responsibility, because you're quite managed, you're quite micromanaged. So I sort of see his point, and actually it's quite important, I think, in cricket, that you are able to take responsibility for your own actions, even if you're only 18.
I like what Lizzie says there. I think, you know, there's two things I'd pull out from that. One is your own self-reliance, your own development as an individual, as a human being. And I would say that in sport, not just cricket generally, that you're given quite a lot nowadays as a young sportsman. And, you know, the irony is that you're not learning for yourself. You're not learning that self-reliance, you know, that toughness that, you know, if you speak to some of the old greats and what have you, you know, if you want to learn how to bowl, you bowl. You know what I mean? If you want to bat, you go and bat in the winter, you know, whereas nowadays there's obviously different programs and, you know, and that's modern science has obviously grown as an infrastructure and obviously added a huge amount as well. But all I'm saying is that you know, I think it's an interesting conversation. I think fundamentally you want your best players playing all the time. If they're 21 or 31 or, you know, not bringing up my own age, but I think, you know, just looking for my own career, I think there's definitely room for, you know, holding players back at times, you know, so that when they come in, instead of coming in for a couple of games and then going out, it's come in and stay in, you know, and that's a lot to do with your own personal development as a, both a player. Are you good enough when you come in? And that's down to your skill development. And I think that it's always nice to have a balance of youth and experience, but fundamentally it's about having the best team. I mean, if you want to win and you're in a professional environment where you need to, where performances are important, you know, you play your most skilled individuals, your best players. And, you know, it's, I think if someone is 21, 22 and played 50 games, well, I suppose from a cricket point of view, they are quite experienced. But from a life perspective, they may be less experienced. So there is that balance. But nowadays, things are getting younger and younger. People are being exposed to more. And you do expect some of your younger players now, if you know, looking at the quote, I think that Ian Bell, Alistair Cook said about some of the other players standing up. You know, I mean, they might be 26 or 27, but actually, in cricketing terms, international terms, they're still relatively inexperienced. So, you know, I can speak from relative experience that it does take time to come into a new environment. Whether you've played 150 matches for your county, you know, when you put that England shirt on, it is a new feeling. It's a new surroundings. There's things that you have to absorb. I mean, if I looked at how well I played after 15 or 20 first class matches,
yeah,
compared to how I feel now in the first class, it's very, very different. So, you know, I don't know if I've answered the question there, but I think that
it's an interesting answer. It's somewhere between maturity, experience, and age, and it's a kind of a combination of all, and they don't always, they're not always interlinked.
Well, you get your players like your Ricky Pontings and your Michael Clarks, who are sort of, and your AB de Villiers, who are outstanding at from the age of 21 through to whenever they retire. They've always been good. But, you know, that's not the norm. There's very few of those, aren't there?
No, and then there are others who really are late bloomers. I mean, look at Ricky Clark.
Andrew Strauss.
Yeah, they're late bloomers. And we've got to allow, and actually one of the great things about cricket is that there is room for you to play and be older. And it's not, you know, age is not actually so much of a big factor. And I think that's one of the things I love about this sport.
Agree.
History and Cricket with the Lords Podcast.
Now, in 2000, Lords witnessed one of the most dramatic test matches held at the ground. Fittingly, it was the 100th test match, with England hosting the West Indies. The game was over within 3 days, but it was no one-sided affair. England, having bowled the Windies out for just 54 in their second innings, were set 188 to win, but Courtney Walsh had other ideas. Having been 91 for 1, England slipped to 140 for 6, thanks mainly to some fine bowling from Walsh, and at that moment it looked like the momentum was going the West Indies' way. But then Dominic Cork stepped forward to play one of the most nail-biting innings of his career.
But for some reason, even when Craig White got out, I had my pads on and I just thought, well, it's down to you now. And it's the most easiest thing to say now, but it is. It's so much easier when you're out in the middle. Six wickets down, you know, you're in trouble. Big trouble against probably one of the best teams in the world at the time, bowling-wise, not batting-wise. So I just thought, you've got to play your game. And thought, be positive, be confident. Crowd, you can see, it's a packed house. It's only day three. Well, you know, that's how it was. And again, you get away with a few. You know, even now, how did I get away with that? That's over mid-off. And it just, you know, I'm willing it to get to the boundary. I'm even pushing it now, it doesn't. So you run as hard as you can. You eventually run four. Nick Knight at the other end, scampering along. Still need 26 to win. Short ball. I think I had premeditated that, and it went straight out of the ground. Six, I remember, just over towards the grandstand. John Hampshire, the umpire. You know, even then, you don't see what's going on around. But you know that, you know, you can create history here, and you know, you can win a test match. People didn't really fancy me as a batsman, and you know, you know you're one shot away, and even now, you know, you're thinking, is it going to happen? You know, you've got Darren Goff at the other end saying to me, just to think how famous we'll be if we win this test match. You know, he's not worrying about anything else. And you know, you need one run. What do? Do you look to just try and scamper? I just got the ball and thought, there we go. And even now, you know, hairs on the back of your neck, seeing the guys, you know, jumping on the balcony, it's so much easier out there. A day that I'll remember for a long, long time, not just personally, but the fact that I was recalled to the side had worked really hard, and Darren Goff will always, the comment will always stick in my mind, but no, great occasion, the 100th Test match at Lord's, and England beat the West Indies.
Dominic Cork there, recalling that famous match. In fact, we had him watching some footage, which is what he's referring to during that, and you can hear even just there that it's getting him going again, just watching those special moments. I mean, can you remember that game, I take it?
I do remember that game. I wasn't here, but I do remember it. Yeah, absolutely incredible.
And Nick?
Yeah, I remember it well. Yeah. I mean, Dominic was always a larger-than-life sort of character, even in his older days, more senior days playing at Hampshire. He was a good competitor, to say the least, really. But yeah, type of a scenario that he must have reveled in, and it was. I remember, yeah, it was one of those great situations. You know, watching England win like that, you know, against the Walsh and Ambroses was fantastic. So I do remember it well.
Absolutely, and one of the things that we've been doing this year, because it's the bicentenary of the Lord's Ground, has been sort of looking back with a bit of nostalgia at some of the amazing performances here. Gooch's 3-3-3, India winning that NatWest match in 2002. I'd like to put the question to the both of you. Have you got a particular memory or game at Lord's that kind of sticks out in your mind?
In terms of one I was at and witnessed live, the fourth ODI against Australia in 2009, there was a spell of bowling from Brett Lee that was just phenomenal. I mean, the speed and the potency. I think he took 5 for 50 or 5 for 49 or something. Blew us away, and Australia obviously won easily because they always do. It was just a phenomenal piece of bowling, and Brett Lee at his absolute finest.
And Nick?
I'd have to say I 12th man for England, which was a really big occasion for me. And I remember Andrew Flintoff at the time was sort of playing his last couple of games or what have you, and I think he got 5 wickets and sort of knelt down on the pitch like he did and got all the players to run around him. But I was 12th man, and I think to run out with the drinks during that occasion was massive for me, and something that I remember running on, and Peter Siddle was at the top of his mark. And obviously in the first game of the series, I think England have got criticised for the time-wasting tactics of 12th man, and so I came on, and there were a few interesting verbals passed my way as I ran on, and sort of said, it's nothing to do with me, I'm just following orders. But I remember that, and that was a great opportunity, not only to watch it, but to be a fan, but also to be in the change room and have my first real taste of being an England cricketer. And you know, I think that's really egged me on to go the full distance myself.
Yeah, some lovely memories of the great old ground here. To finish off the podcast, I'd love to do the bicentenary podcast quiz. There's not much skill involved in this. Lizzie, you've played before.
Haven't I lost?
So you're at a slight advantage.
Yeah.
But you've had the experience. Nick, it's purely guessing people's ages. So I'm going to give you a cricketer and a non-cricketer, and you have to tell me who is older to score the point.
Okay.
That's it. Nick, you can go first. We'll wait for that siren to go past. Who is older, Matt Pryor or Kim Kardashian?
I'm going to go with Matt Pryor.
I think you've asked this because Kim Kardashian is older.
Kim Kardashian is older.
Come on.
Yeah. 1 point to Lizzie. Next question. Lizzie, who is older, Nick Compton or pop star Ollie Murs?
Nick.
I think I'm older than him, yes.
Yep, you're both correct by a year, so there we go. 2-1. Nick, who's older, Mark Ramprakash or Chef Jamie Oliver?
I'm useless at this game. I've got no idea. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go Jamie Oliver.
I think you're right, Jamie Oliver, yeah.
You're both wrong. Yes. Sorry, yeah. Ramps is 6 years older than him.
Oh, wow.
Really?
There you go.
Sorry, yeah. Jamie.
Lizzie, Jacques Callis or Benedict Cumberbatch?
Oh, good grief. Jacques Callis.
It's tight. I'm going to go Jacques Callis.
He is indeed, by just the 1 year. So
it was close.
We've got it at 3-2 going into the final round. A bit of tension, always good. Oh. Nick, who's older, Sir Garfield Sobers or Dame Maggie Smith?
I'm going to go Maggie Smith.
Well, I'll go for Sobers.
Oh, we've got a draw. Dame Maggie Smith by a year. So there we go.
Real honourable.
How very
lovely.
Lovely way to finish the podcast, isn't it? A nice 3-all draw there. Well, thank you very much. Oh, well, thank you both very much for coming on. What have you got planned over the next few weeks, Lizzie?
Well, there's getting up early to watch some England play some cricket.
Yeah.
And then there's a tri-series in the new year, which I'm hoping to get out to.
Lovely. And Nick, I won't ask too much more about your future, but
it's okay.
In the immediate future, got a ball to go to?
I've got a charity event, yeah, this evening, Right to Play, and looking forward to that. And then I'm actually going to the Formula One in Abu Dhabi, so I thought I'd just put that out there. I got a free ticket, and having never been before, I just thought, why not?
And it's a double pointer.
Big game. Big race. So looking forward to it.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much for both coming on. Really appreciate it. Many thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next month with more cricketing stories from Lords. So remember to follow us on Twitter. Our handle's at Home of Cricket. Be our friend on Facebook. And for all the latest news from Lords, just go to lords.org. See you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.